money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I am.
Okay, well then, go ahead.
Well, today's a what? No, I invited Brent. Brent's going to talk all day, all show, because I'm not telling him what we're talking about. So yes, it's the show where we talk about the heart issues of money. I forgot I'm introducing it. Okay. We're talking about the heart issues of money, but actually today, not so much heart issues as practical things around tariffs and investing. So you won't want to miss this. I want to thank LTR Industries, who and Brian Vlaming and Dave, they've become new friends to me in the last few years, and we are really grateful to their manufacturing factory. I said to Brian, how do I describe what you do? He goes, well, you can say that we're an architectural millwork manufacturing factory, but it's just a fancy way of saying that we're a commercial cabinet shop.
There we go.
So if you are interested in work, or if you're interested in buying that kind of cabinetry, you can give Brian and Dave a call. And it is ltrindustries.com. And we'll have those a link in the show notes for you.
And so, if you've ever checked it, they just build really cool spaces.
It's very fun. Really do. Maybe even call over and say, can we have a tour of your shop? I don't know if they'd want me to say that, but.
You just did.
I just did, because I've had a tour of their shop and it's pretty interesting work, actually. So anyway, we want to thank them for sponsoring the show today.
Good.
And you're on for, we switched it up. You're doing the scripture today.
And we've just thrown Reb way out of sync.
I'm way out of sync.
Here we go. But yes, thank you for coming, Brent. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me here.
Yeah. So, Brent, you've been on the show before. Mm-hmm. If you're new to the show and you don't know who Brent is, of course, we'll let you do a quick intro. Just introduce yourself. But you're just a great friend. And you are, in a sense, a resource that we like to have on the show, but we also, in behind the scenes, are like, when somebody comes to me about investment, wealth building, we focus much more on cash flow management and what we do at More Than Enough. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then we get them to the point where they're healthy, that foundation is there. And then I get to just hand them to you and go, all right, Brent, do whatever it is you do to create, build on that stability, to build on that foundation of really debt management and cash flow. And then you take it to the next level. So it's great.
And we are grateful for that. We have a team now of, I guess, 12 people in the firm, and Crosspoint Financial is our name. And we do exactly that. We manage wealth for people. You could think of it like maybe the simple way, like Brian's firm. You could say we basically build people's pension plans. If they don't have a pension plan, they need to invest and build wealth to create an income stream down the road. We manage that wealth. And the key difference is we're not from a bank or a product producing business. We're an independent firm. It doesn't manufacture products and sell those. We go out and act as brokers and can access anything out there. All the funds, all the ETFs, but stocks, bonds directly, keep costs low and do all of the research for what to buy and what to own, what businesses to own in-house. So we're not taking other people's opinions. We're building our own. We own that. So it's a different approach. Independence is basically the difference.
Wow. Thanks for that explanation. That's beautiful.
All right. So we are going to talk, as we've have you on the show, we're going to talk about some, I'll say, that aspect of our finances, because it's a crazy world right now. In your world, it is a crazy world. And of course, we love to go back to scripture, and there's some precedent in scripture. And there were really, I was trying to decide which scripture do we go with. There's the story of Joseph, which whenever we think about crazy times, I think about the story of Joseph, where it's like, here's Pharaoh. There's just so much in that. But he has this dream. He recognizes the importance of the dream, but nobody can figure out what it means. And then on comes Joseph on the scene, who then quite quickly gets elevated to, okay, in a sense, prepare for rough times that are coming down the road. And I'm sure if we, you know, again, look back through kind of economic cycles and histories, this is not the first time we have hit. And I take, you know, I've got to start by saying I take great encouragement by the fact that I can go all the way back to the Joseph story and go, you know, if I was in Egypt at that time, I might not have the same information that Pharaoh did, that Joseph did. Mm-hmm. But here I am, and I'm thinking about the same things. How do I provide for my family when I am to a point where I can't work? And I come different culture, but really the same question is how do in my times of health and my times of ability to work, how do I prepare for those times where even when I'm healthy, there was a famine in the land? There was something that was way out of our control that was going that went on. And how do I prepare for that? How do I look at that? And I thought, maybe let's just start with there, because I feel like that's what I'm seeing and feeling for a lot of people. This is, well, do I need to change? Do I need to how do I respond, react? I see all of this world events going on. Yeah. And what do I do with maybe the money that I have saved? Maybe what do I do with the money as I'm, again, this is, there's plenty of opportunity for making money right now. And, you know, again, we're not in a famine where the entire land is experiencing the same, but we are in a really challenging, volatile time. So kind of leaving,
Start talking, Brent.
Well, I mean, we'll get to the practical stuff in a second, but as you're speaking, what I'm also recognizing in that Joseph story, or even when the Israelites are in slavery for so many years. Do you remember there were times where they said, okay, we're going to go, we're going to escape. And then they say, oh, wait, but at least in slavery, we know we have a little bit of food and a little bit of known certainty. How did they decide? Like, what I always find interesting for our times is, how do you decide when it's time to make a move or to do something, right? Mm-hmm. I know I'm saying we leave the country we live in, when does a family, when do people who are listening to the show say, yeah, now I know I have to do something, versus staying the course and being consistent and this is what we know. And those are just take so much wisdom and insight and hearing from God.
Because we're not always going to get the parting of the Red Sea or the locusts.
And they had to leave first to get there. Right.
Like, and they saw these miracles happening around them. And that was... But what did those miracles mean, actually? Yeah. Right? What did the water turning to blood mean? Mm-hmm. You know, we look at it and we have some understanding, but that would have been...
Because we get to see the end of the story.
Plus, Dave mentioned to me the other day, we also have social media and current, like, we know knowledge right now. Like, thousands of years ago, we wouldn't have known that Trump was tariffing Canada or how our leaders were responding. We wouldn't have known it in immediate time. And that's just an interesting thought as well. Yeah. So,
and one of the biases coming through the social media that we're consuming, right? And there's so much bias right now. That's part of the challenge, is figuring out what's really happening and why is it happening and how will it play out, and what were the news that we consume is always biased. Mm-hmm. And so it takes a lot to parse through.
And it's just, you just want to bury your head in the sand. And I know that's not the answer. I know we've talked about that here before, but so what is it? Let's get right to that question. What do tariffs mean right now for investing in markets, and what are you seeing?
So I think a lot of people don't actually even understand what a tariff is, or there's a lot of uncertainty around how these tariffs will play out, right? First of all, tariffs aren't new. Probably the more modern example would be back at, like, modern 1930, right? Smoot-Hawley, most people know that. That caused the Depression, right? When the U.S. instituted big tariffs, and I think it was Bennett was the Canadian PM back then, responded with considerable tariffs back, and all of a sudden the economic slowdown was significant. So a tariff, just simply put, is probably the easiest to think of it as like an extra tax. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a company in Canada that's moving products into the US, the US Border Services is the agent of the government that says, I'm applying a 10, 20, 30, 50% surcharge, and they collect it when the product moves across the border. And essentially, it's increasing the price of that good. Mm-hmm. So somewhere along the line, either the company that's manufacturing it is able to increase prices and maintain right. their profit, or the product along the end to the consumer is going to be a lot higher, mm-hmm. right? But the way that these are proposed now is essentially governments are going to be collecting this money, and that therefore, you know, raises a few questions about, well, what are they going to do with that money and why are they doing this? And there's a lot of debate on both sides of the story of why this is happening mm-hmm. now. But what does it do? Like, I mean, your first question is, what does it mean? I think it ultimately produces a lot of uncertainty, right? And as far as markets are concerned, uncertainty mm-hmm. is the worst thing. And I think the way that the US is handling it right now creates a lot of uncertainty. And it's because we don't know why they're doing the tariffs, like I said earlier. Mm-hmm. If it's just a negotiating tactic, trying to be strong-arming mm-hmm. a new trade deal, that infers that they're relatively short-lived, right? Okay, so markets will get over that if they knew it was short-lived. They can adjust, right? Mm-hmm. But if this is a new regime, like, that's trying to address a trade deficit issue, meaning the US has been, what they're concerned about is this constant or this persistent deficit mm-hmm. in their trade imbalance. Well, this revenue would help offset that. If that's the motivation, and no one's very clear about what it is, then it might be more permanent, mm-hmm. which really changes supply chains and the whole globalized supply chain movement of, in, like, car parts go back and forth across the border, something like, well, it varies, but often around average 13 times before a car is actually built. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't tariff that. Cars are going to triple in price, basically, right? So it just means that uncertainty will cause volatility, which is what we're seeing in the short term as we figure out, is this permanent? Is this short in nature? What will the net result be in terms of costs for the products, the input prices for all mm-hmm. these goods? And will US companies, for example, take over more of the domestic production of those parts to keep costs down? And how will Canadian or Mexican or other countries, companies adapt to that? And so mm-hmm. a lot of change if this is a permanent thing. And that's what people are trying to figure out.
Right.
And I, you know, jumping in there, just as I'm hearing you, you know, you say volatility, mm-hmm. you know, the market is always in motion and in movement. And so, you know, the again, the response to that, and just coming right back down to, like, how does this impact my RRSPs mm-hmm. or my decisions around, you know, whatever investments I might have, Dave, personally, you've built my pension. And, mm-hmm. and now we're like, okay, do we shift? Do we not shift? And we can really see how that becomes difficult because yeah. we're like, well, it's constantly changing. So if I go left and then all of a sudden everything goes right, shoot, what do I do? Or do I hold on?
What do people do? Like, is it affecting investments then because of your work in the markets and the yeah. volatility there? Like, there's a couple of questions. What's happening? But
yeah.
what do you do? What do you advise?
I think in the short term, we don't really know how it's going to play out, right? Mm-hmm. So the volatility is partly just because people are the market is a giant voting machine every day on the news cycle, right?
Right.
So we always advise people, don't worry about that. And you said earlier, you know, social media is a big part of the news cycle or the how mm-hmm. people get their news. That creates the short termism that is impacting our perception. So I think we have to recognize, first of all, this is kind of the voice of reason statement, mm-hmm. that we've been through lots of these types of things before. And so mm-hmm. Businesses, good businesses and governments do usually end up figuring it out. Mm-hmm. They adapt, they adjust, they have to, and sometimes it's hard, right? And some might fail and others will win from it, right? And it's a matter of just who is going to, you know, be a good business 5 years from now. Mm-hmm. So that's first and foremost, is it's not new. There's nothing new under the sun. Good yeah. investing means carrying on and owning good quality businesses for long periods of time. That said, I think the other point, when people get afraid in investing, they often think, I have to do something completely different, right? Mm-hmm. The whole point of, let me sell now, go to cash and go somewhere else, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's not really a disciplined investing process, right? That's like this trading, I'm going to get in, I'm going to get out. And that's a temptation that one shouldn't fall into. Our view basically is we need to look at, and we've been doing this like a year and a half ago when we first knew Trump was likely going to become into power and tariffs were going to come back again, is it doesn't mean you're looking at the whole market, right? When you see the news, you're seeing, oh, the S&P is up 2% or down 4% or whatever it is. We look at, when we own a quality business, we're not owning the broad market of everything. We're owning Dollarama, Metro, JP Morgan. We have like 22 different businesses that we own for our clients. We go through those businesses and say, okay, what does this mean for them? And some are not affected at all, right? They have no impact of tariffs.
Right.
In fact, it might move more consumption to them, right? And more sales. The other ones that are, we have to look at it and say, okay, what will their cost structure be? Will they be able to increase prices? You know, so for example, think about milk or butter or dairy. A lot of play there, because I think some of this might actually be because the US wants Canada to reduce their quote tariffs and support of some of these, like the dairy industry and others like that, to create more fair trade, they would say. But what will the prices be on those products? And will they, like, will I go buy milk 5 years from now? Probably. Will it cost me twice as much or three times as much? Maybe, right? That's to a further question we'll get to is what does it really mean for people? I think it's going to mean higher product costs. That from our perspective, it means will these companies that we own be able to increase their prices, and people will just have to pay those prices and therefore maintain their earnings. If a company, the question of investing in stock markets, if a company can maintain and grow its earnings, its stock price will be just fine. Because at the end of the day, that's what drives a stock is the earnings of the business that it's for, right? So people are questioning right now, oh, is it going to reduce their earnings? Is the price too high for that now? I think it's going to be lower, so let's sell. Or no, I think it's going to be fine or even growing. Price will go back up again very quickly. So there's noise that could create, like volatility can create opportunity. If you think that business is going to be just fine, now it's down 10%, I'm going to buy it, right? Like it's a great time to dip in. But maybe other ones, it's accurately down 10, 15, 20% because its sales, its earnings are going to be down over time. So that's the work.
And the margin, you know, just keeping that, you know, if I'm selling my milk and there's, you know, $7 of margin per 100,000 liters or something, there's zero margin there.
Yeah.
The price has to go up to maintain that margin. And then essentially, this is some of the talk we hear, then it becomes a tax on us, right?
Totally.
It goes.
That's what it is completely.
I have to pay the higher price because there's no margin in the company to absorb any of that. And where does it, either they stop producing or they maybe get more efficient. Maybe they figure out a new way to deliver milk or something where they go, oh, we can save some money, keep our margin and not increase prices that much. But all the companies are trying to figure that out.
That's right.
And as we know, like,
and we're still too new into it, really.
Yeah. Again, to go back earlier, because we don't know if this is short term or long term and how it all plays out, but they will figure it out. That's what I mean. If there's history is a guide, companies are resilient, business people are smart, and they will figure out how to adjust and move. But the net impact to people, I think, is we call it it's a tax on people, but we will see it. We will hear it in the news media as inflation.
Right.
Right. Okay. Inflation, my view is that inflation it's dissipated over the last year. But it will come back again because of this. And so people need to be ready for that. If the average listener, you know, doesn't have a big investment portfolio and isn't buying and analyzing stocks like we do, the next best thing they can do to prepare is to look at their cash flow and their budgeting and say, I need to expect costs to go higher again. And we'll have lots of pain and crying about it. Government politicians, I should be more clear, will, you know, drag business owners up into committees and grill them for why are you doing at the end of the day, it's government policy that's causing this. A business's role is not to protect the people, it's to maintain the business, right? And it's not going to cut its profit just because the government decides to institute a tariff, right? So there is going to be cost increase. And I just think people need to be aware of that, not be like shocked 6 months or a year from now, they're going, oh my gosh, butter's now back up to $9 a pound. So it's going to be most likely if this carries on, right? So,
and I think it's really, I'm going to interject there because cash flow is
that's where, what you do. That, right? Yeah.
But the encouragement here is, you know, during this season, when we're not forced, you know, we're not paying those high, then definitely be looking at saving and say, okay, can I save $500 more a month from now until, you know, the next whatever period of time. And if in 6 months or a year, I'm drawing, that's watching me save less and less every month because I have to put that into my cash flow, that's a, a really easy thing you can implement right now is, mm-hmm. is look at your cash flow and say, all right, I may not have to spend X number of dollars on it yet, or my savings is here. Then I can just say, okay, well, I'm going to increase that, because I know that the benefit of it in short term is if none of this plays out, if none of it happens and there are no tariffs and nothing increases, well, I've just put some money aside and I've saved it.
Yeah,
and I've invested it and it's grown. Mm-hmm. Or worst case scenario is I learn to live on less than I make, to the tune of, okay, 6 months from now, I might need that $500 mm-hmm. to live because the cost of things have gone up to maintain mm-hmm. my standard of living. The other side of that is do nothing. Mm-hmm. And then guess what happens to your standard of living, in a sense that we go, okay, now I'm trying to decide, do I eat three meals a day or two meals a day,
being the extreme? Are you going to quote your favorite verse? The fool sees I can never get it right.
The wise man sees disaster and makes a change.
Yeah.
The fool carries on and suffers for it. And I think this is a perfect example of that. We can kind of see all of this. We don't have to react in a flamboyant way, but maybe making a change is the appropriate thing to really look at cash flow and say, you know what would it look like in terms of my own cost of living? Or if I'm making a decision like buying a new car and going into debt for that, or changing house and increasing my fixed costs, mm-hmm. and saying, I'm living right on the margin, right on the end.
We're seeing people do it.
This is the key thing that I wanted to point out today, right? It's because this is a controllable. Tariffs, market movements are not a controllable. Right. And Joseph, the corollary to your earlier story in scripture, that's maybe the planning ahead, right? What can we do to look at our expending, our cash flow? Not just say, oh, I got to have that. That can't change. So I'm going to decrease my savings. It's digging into the cash flow and saying, if I had to cut this, what would I do? And recognizing, and I'll just say this even for myself, but I see it with my clients and lots of people out there. The last 5 years have been pretty good. Mm. Economically, mm. our expectations, I think, have changed. Mm. The number of vacations and new cars and clothes and dining out and all the things we spend money on that we have now become accustomed to. Mm. I think that might be interesting for people. And I do it for myself. I'll just say myself, to look at that and say, how much of that do I think I always just have to do? And can I really cut some of it if I had to?
Oh, I know.
And that's an interesting soul searching question, right?
Yeah. And I think, again, coupled with the environment that we're in, where there is going to be an increase in pressure to buy. There's an increase in competition for the same products. So in the middle of that soul searching and that deciding, you've got 10 very loud voices saying, of course you need that new TV. You deserve it.
And right? It's cheap. Just do it. Right?
Or, hey, your couch has got a rip and go get that new couch. And again, walking through that a little bit to say, well, I got to plan this through. I have to really think this through in light of, as we say, the volatility that's going on, without getting into now I can't do anything. Well, no, but I think we, again, I often use the metaphor, and I think this is a great one. You know, when we're driving down the 6-lane highway and there's nobody else on the highway, you can drive with one finger and talk to your wife and, not a big deal if you drift from one lane to the next, because there's not a lot to run into. When you're on that mountain road where on one side there's a cliff and on the other side there's a rock and there's cars coming at you, you got both hands on the steering wheel and you're paying attention and you're kind of saying, Reb, don't talk to me.
Knuckles are white.
but we don't want that white knuckle, right? Like in a sense, I don't want to say that, but I do think it's a time that we keep both hands on the wheel and we pay attention a little bit more.
The other thing I'm thinking of is we can't pretend that it's not happening. No. We also can't do what I said, like you bury your head in the sand and just go on your merry way. I guess that's what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying, right? We like to think, and it's not, it is normal to do so, but to say that, the people in charge, the elected representatives will figure this out and I just can't control it. And to a degree, that's true. We can't control it. That was my point earlier. Mm-hmm. Focus on the controllables, be ready, be prepared. And there could be tough times ahead. And I'm not usually one quick to say that.
No,
right?
Like you
I'm
don't
generally
say that.
A rosy, outlook. And I think that will probably, like from a probabilistic perspective, I'm still of the perspective of the majority. Like, chances are we'll figure this out. Good businesses will carry on. The U.S.-Canada relationship will be fine. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of things going on right now that are concerning, right?
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
see, like, in terms of power, in terms of structuring of the democratic processes and protections and all these things. These are interesting and difficult times, I think.
I want to just bring it back because of the question that came in from a client. What do you do with investments? Like, I just, and we only have like a minute for you to talk to that. What would you recommend people do with their investments? Like, when they're thinking about this?
I think you have to say, continue to hold high quality investments that, so stay the course, essentially, right? This is your long-term money. It's your pension plan that is there for your life expectancy. You need to hold on to good quality investments. What's your risk tolerance? What's there for your bond, stock, alternatives, real estate, private stuff, like those three. What's my mix? And let me stick to it. Maybe deviate plus or minus 5% if you're concerned, right? But we're not talking huge shifts in or out.
So you're like, you're not telling people throw it out into the...
No, you can't do that. People think that that's the solution of, I'm going to go to cash and I'll get back. No. Do not ever, ever do that. Let me back up. The other thing though, is that if someone needs cash in the next 5 years, that's a different question then, right? I say, okay, so I have to start my income stream from my pension plan in the next five. Well, I think it's always been wise to say, let me put a cash wedge is what we call it. 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, 5 year of income, start to set that aside in the 1 year in a high interest, maybe 1 year, 2 year, 3 year GIC, like stagger it so that that money that you're going to need in a shorter time period is not in the businesses that could go up or down 10 or 20%, which gets you off. So being wise about your cash flow and building your income strategy, if you're close to that pivot point. That's not an all of the portfolio question. That might be 5 to 10% of your portfolio you're setting aside. The rest has to last until you're 80, 90, whatever God gives you. That has to be long-term invested still and growing above the inflation rate. Because remember I said earlier, I think inflation is going to be the number one risk. Well, risk assets grow ahead of inflation most of the time. And that's what we have to do. We have to grow our wealth higher than inflation so that it can produce a higher income stream for you to purchase the basket of goods you're going to need that are now going to cost more.
Yeah. Right? And that, again, we'll finish on that note, but that does not mean an increase in actual living. It just means that the cost of everything goes up. So your standard of living actually stays the same as we do that. So one last comment, and then Rev, you're going to pray quick because we're at the end of the show. You just said a whole bunch of things that an investment advisor, a wealth person is who's managing their clients' portfolios. And you know my feeling on that. If you're self-directing, then now might be a time to actually say, oh, I need some advice from someone or to move that. And again, we've talked about that in other shows. So we'll leave it at that to say, this might be a time to have someone else look at your portfolio and say, is it in a good spot and somebody you trust? So I'm just going to end in prayer.
Thank you so much, Brent, for being here. It is so, I learned so much from you. Father, thank you for, Brent, and for those who are like him, encouraging people for wise investment. Lord, I pray that you would protect people from scams and all the unwarranted advice that we hear that would lead us to quick decisions. Lord, help us bring our decisions to you, to walk with you, and to be mindful of the times we're living in. Lord, we need your help and we ask for your mercy in these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brent.
Thank you, LTR.
And thank you for joining us, and join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.